Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It certainly is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Got a beautiful day outside. Man, loving this. Yesterday was like, give me that every single day, Joe. Like, every day of my life could be that weather. It'd be great. Not too hot, definitely not cold, right? And I like hot weather. I'm fine with it, but that was just the perfect day, wasn't it, yesterday?
Absolutely. Not hot enough to sweat, not cold enough to, like, need to throw, like, a jacket on or anything. Yeah, no clouds in the sky at all yesterday. It was perfect.
And for me, it's the wind, too. Not like, it's just become so windy around here at times. No wind. I love that, too. Like, no wind, please. Give me no wind for my football games. Give me no wind for my golfing. Give me no wind, and I'm totally good with it. So, I am actually, today is, I'll be off tomorrow, not in on Monday. I'll be doing the show Tuesday, but from Florida remotely. I'm leaving tomorrow to head to Florida to play some golf. And I have to be honest with you. Like, now I do this every year, as you know. I go down, play with my friends. I've been playing for like 25 years with this group of guys since I've been living down there. It's kind of crazy. We all have been still playing. There's over 20 people now, and we play all the time. We play every year, I should say, and it's the same kind of group. And usually every year by now, I have gone to the indoor range, one of the domes, or the outdoor range, or played multiple, going back to March, I start getting to the swing of things. But because I got my pacemaker, I had these restrictions, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of going blind this year, Joe. I've gone twice. And I'm a little worried because it's competitive and I want to win. And it will literally be like the first time I'm actually swinging the club on a course tomorrow, Saturday morning when we go out for our first round.
Well, don't you feel like that could go one of two ways? It could. Yeah. There is a good way, right? It could go... No rounds so far really means that there is less of a chance to build up bad habits. That happened to me last year,
exactly,
I think, in my
right.
golf season. Yep. Like, I definitely, as the season went on, there were bad habits that I just got used to doing, and then it progressively got worse, and you don't have that risk. But at the same time, you know, anything could happen. You could show up tomorrow, or you could show up for this tournament, and it could be terrible. But I feel like you could also do well, or great.
I felt like, I will be honest, I felt like when I went to the indoor range a couple of weeks ago for the first time I could, I hit the ball well. I'm like, you know what? It's kind of like riding a bike. Now, it's not, but you're right. There were a couple of things I'm like, you know what? It's just nice to get to the swing of things. In a way, you're a little bit more concentrating on doing it right because you haven't been swinging a lot, if that makes sense, right? Like, hey, I just need to make sure that I'm doing everything right and you're a little more technically sound. Mm-hmm. So from that aspect, that's true. I do find... early on, my golf season generally goes early in the season. I'm pretty decent for me. middle of the season, and then end of the season, I'm a lot better because I've been playing so much. That's how it generally goes for me. You make the corrections, mm-hmm. you're feeling good, then you're getting a little loosey-goosey. Then at the end of the year, yeah, I've been playing a lot, getting a lot of reps in. So I don't know how to. I don't know how this thing's going to go. We'll play Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Now, it used to be, when we were younger, and I was younger, 36 Saturday, 36 Sunday, 18 Monday for the championship rounds. I say rounds because we divide everybody up, you know, based on where you fall. We're all a little older now. mm-hmm. Some of the people, I am one of the younger people, if not the youngest. And it's interesting to me, you know, 25 years ago when we were doing this, I was 25, 30. A lot of the guys I was playing with were 40, 45. Now they are in their 60s. I'm in my 50s. I'm one of the younger guys. Mm-hmm. We've all had to kind of adjust our game a little bit. And now it's, no, we're going to play 27 Saturday, 27 Sunday, 18 Monday. We're not doing the 36 anymore.
Yeah. It's about endurance more than ever.
Yes.
Goes along. You might have an advantage, you know, more and more, though, in the next couple of years. You never know.
Maybe. I know. Well, we did decide to move the tees up one from where we were. For okay. everybody. We have to.
That's smart.
And that's a tough call every year, though. Like, which is, should we just do it for the certain ages or handicaps? Or should we do it for everybody? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would think by the tees, you typically want that to be the same, don't you?
I think so, too. We generally try to do that. I say, here's what I tell people. Like, yeah, what in this thing that we've done, like, whatever we do, we should do as a group. But I will tell you, there are 24 guys, right? And there are some guys a little older. And I think over the last couple of years, we've kind of been able to say, well, maybe that person should be able to go a little farther up when it, you know, it does. It's tough. It's a tough call. You just have to have a blanket way to look at it, I guess. I don't really know. I never feel comfortable making that decision.
Yeah. I would think you could play have handicaps come into it. If I were in a league like that or a tournament like that, I would rather have everyone playing from the same tees. And if it's going to be weighted, you then do it by handicap rather than, you know. Well, actually, I don't know, because I guess I've never really done the opposite. Like, I'm trying to think if I've ever been in a tournament or a league where people are actually playing different tips. Because I guess in theory that does make sense too, because your starting point is the only thing you have to really figure out, right? Then everyone's just playing. And then however well you do, that's how it goes.
So I'll be playing golf this weekend. It'll be fun. I'm going to be really excited to kind of get down, see some of my friends I, you know, see maybe once a year, play some golf with them over the weekend, get back on the course. And, though, while I'm down there, I'm going to miss the Kentucky Derby. The Derby is running on Saturday, the Run for the Roses, and it is the 150th Kentucky Derby. We did something during the NCAA tournament, and I kind of stole the idea from Jeremy for like Thanksgiving Survivor and Christmas Survivor. We did NCAA Tournament Survivor, and then we did NHL Playoff Survivor, where we basically eliminate one team for whatever reason we want between me and Joe and Josh, and we get to one team that we're going to root for. We're going to do the same thing today for the Kentucky Derby. So what we have is we have to come up with we all have to work from the same spot here to make sure we have the field. So I'm going to just kind of pull up the field that I have. The field that I have in front of me, guys, has 21 horses. Is that what you guys have? I just want to make sure we're all in the same.
I have 18. I have 18. Okay. No. Wait, hold on. 18, 19, 20. I have 20. 20 names.
20. Who am I? Oh, you're right. Encino was scratched.
Okay.
Right? Encino was scratched.
Right.
Dornock, Sierra Leone, right? We're looking at the same list here, right? I just want to make sure we're all looking. Josh, you got it? You got a list of 20?
Yep, all set.
Okay, let's see. You know what? I don't know who started last time. Josh asked me, what music should he play? I said, we can't just play Old Kentucky Home. It's too blasé for this. We need something a little more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up songs, Joe, I said, what are the best songs with the word run in it? And actually, a couple of them, or ran. The song I Ran from Flock of Seagulls is one of them, so we got that queued up. But also, this might be the most famous song with the word run in it. Go ahead, Josh, you can play it, and we'll have this under the bed for a little while, okay? You'll recognize this. Here we go. Little Bruce,
Little
Boss.
Song. Yeah.
Right? Born to Run. by Bruce Springsteen.
Perfect.
Okay. What do we have here? Josh, why don't you start us off this time? You start us off with Thanksgiving. Kentucky Derby, Survivor, you eliminate one of the horses for whatever reason you want. It could be by name. It could be because you found out there's some trainer that you think is a jerk. I have no idea. Whatever you want to do.
I'm going to go and eliminate Society Man. He's the horse is one of the bottom, like one of the underdogs. I just don't get it. Like, what's the name? It doesn't make any sense. Like, obviously, some of these names don't make any sense at all, but they have like a good ring to them usually. But like Society Man, like sounds like a bad superhero, right? Like, I don't know. It's weird to me.
Okay. Society Man is running at number 20. I am going to go with number 15, domestic product. This is what I want to hear in my economics class. It's not what I want to see on the racetrack. Domestic product racing out of 15 at 30-1. No need for domestic product. When I go to the store, I might buy a domestic product. I'm not rooting for a domestic product in this race. Go ahead.
All right. Domestic product. I'm sorry. Who was Josh's first pick?
Society Man number 20.
Okay. I am going to eliminate, with my first pick, Fierceness.
Ooh.
No one wants the favorite. The favorite, too easy. People don't want to bet the favorite. You want to look like the smart guy. You pick the favorite, nobody cares. Fierceness, out.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's why go ahead, Joe. Josh, you're next. Sorry, I was going to jump the gun there. Go ahead.
See, it's funny because this is so much harder than, like, you know, sports teams and stuff, because there's, like, they're just horses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you feel bad.
Let's go
with... Who doesn't love a good horse?
Let's go with Just a Touch. Because it's another one of those things where it's just kind of random. Like, I don't get it. Like, some of these, like, have, like, significance or, like, just look cool. But, like, this one just, again, doesn't really do anything for me.
I agree with what Joe said. Like, it's like the NCAA tournament. Why go chalk? Mm-hmm. It's why you eliminate Duke early on or North Carolina. That's why I'm going to eliminate 3-1 odds Sierra Leone. This is it's a country. It's not a horse. Sierra Leone. I think isn't Sierra Leone a country? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, West Africa.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure, right? Sierra Leone's a country. It's not a horse. It's also 3-1. Nobody really cares for Sierra Leone to win this one. Root for a little better of a, more odds, higher odds, not 3-1, more of a long shot. So Sierra Leone, out of here on Kentucky Derby Survivor.
I am going to have a little bit of a theme here, and that the name picking is going to be what I go for. And I do not like the one word name, resilience. Resilience. Just
you wait. You
so
got a little fearlessness
lame.
And now resilience. Yes, I definitely see a theme.
I mean, I've seen resilience might be one of the better bets, but just in terms of the name picking, right? Like, just get over yourself, resilience. And be creative. Be fun. Try to be funny. You don't have to take yourself too seriously. I feel like resilience is that.
I like it. He went, man, fierceness and resilience. Yeah. Joe isn't putting a bunch of motivational names on shirts, no. I can tell you that.
Nope, don't need that.
Josh.
Let's go. I was about to say Encino, but Encino's scratched.
He's scratched. No Encino.
Let's go with... It's hard, because we're getting down to some of the cool ones, like Track Phantom. Like, that sounds sweet. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
this is why it's tough.
What about, Mystic Dan. Like, spell Mystic correctly. What?
I like that name.
Oh,
you're right,
man.
Though. He does spell Mystic with a K.
Yeah, like, spell it.
What number is this? I got to look. We got to do the numbers.
On my screen.
Number three. Thank you. There it is. Mystic. Mm-hmm. Mystic Dan. Yeah. MYSTIK.
Mm-hmm.
Mystic Dan. You just don't like people named Dan. That's what I think it is. Calling Dan Dunleavy and telling him that.
Whoa. That's aggressive. No way. I like my Dan.
Well, here's another one for you. How do you say horse number one? Door knock? Is it like door knock? Like a...
I don't know.
Like that?
Door notch?
Door notch?
Could be. CH at the end?
Whatever it is, I don't want to root for it if I don't know how to say the name. So I'm going to eliminate door notch / door knock 20-1 out of the pole position.
All right. I'm looking through. I just want to make sure. I'm pretty sure he's banned. Does Bob Baffert have a horse in this field?
I like this reasoning, man.
I don't think he is, though. All right, I can't use that. Yeah, Bob Baffert. Not Bob Babbage.
Hopefully Bob Babbage isn't banned.
I don't think Bob Babbage is banned from the Kentucky Derby. I think just Bob Baffert is. Yeah, he does not have a horse this year. He's serving a current suspension. All right, so I can't do that. All right, I'll go one more with the one name. Get out. Be a little more creative. Have a little bit more fun. I'm going to get rid of Stronghold at 20-1. Big mover, by the way. 41-1, now 20-1. I'm going to get rid of Stronghold.
By the way, Stronghold, you've now eliminated three one-word names, yep. Fierceness, Resilience, and Stronghold, and they are all racing next to each other, 17, 18, 19. You're like, just get rid of that like bit
just
part of
the
stable right there.
Yeah, if those doors didn't open by happenstance, I would be perfectly okay with that.
You're okay. You're totally okay. All right, Josh, you're up.
Let's go with West Saratoga. It's just an odd name, and also I'm looking at like the stats, and it's just not that great of a horse.
We're looking at stats now. I love it.
He's only won two races. And he's raced in like
I didn't even think to look at the stats.
Eight or nine races. Like he's only won two. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Joe, I'm gonna go on your theme.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with a one word horse because it doesn't I'm sorry to steal your thunder here.
That's fine.
What does the word endlessly have to do with a horse? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Endlessly. Endlessly not going to be the pick for me this year. 30-1, endlessly out of the 14 hole, is eliminated by me here in Kentucky Derby Survivor.
All right. I'm looking also at the looks of the horses. some of them just like look more majestic than others, you know?
I know, right?
There's one. No, I like the name too much. What I was looking for, and I have it, is who's made the most money? Because ooh. I don't. At that point, get out. But I like the name. By the way, earnings, like career earnings for horses, number yep. for in the Derby, number one is $17 million, and number two is less than $2 million. So it's a massive gap. But I like the name for number one, so I'll save that. Let's go the opposite. Mugatu. I'm going to eliminate Mugatu with career earnings of 30,000. 85-1 odds. Just feels like a little bit of a waste of space, if you ask me. I don't mind the name. I'm not doing it because of the name. I think it's a cool name, but 30,000, 14 total points, last, 85-1. Feels like a little bit of a waste of time.
What number is this?
22. Were they scratched?
I don't have a 22. I have a 21 is my last one.
Oh, you're right. We already went through this. There's only 20.
So I think that horse was scratched.
Maybe.
Had to be.
I'm on the Derby's official
ooh.
Site.
I have Derby no horses. Idea. Let me see. Hold on. We don't. You can tell we don't follow Kentucky Derby.
I was
going
to say,
right?
Can you tell we're not experts on the Kentucky Derby?
I know. That's why we bring people on to tell you about the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Can we figure right. it out? We got to figure Let's, out if this horse is running. Hold on. I'm going through another list here.
All right.
I'm looking at the horses. Also, it says also eligible. I have no idea what that means.
Funny.
What we will it? Allow it. I'll allow it. Okay. I'll allow it.
What is right. it? Wait, I'm it. Very curious now what also is also eligible, like midway through the race, the Undertaker's music plays, and here comes Mugatu out of the center of the track.
It says hasn't finished in the top two in any of his last seven races. Might be 100-1 odds if he draws in. No idea if he's drawing in or not.
Oh,
just so you know.
Okay, I've got it. You know what it is?
Okay, what?
Mugatu is weight is an alternate. So if another okay. horse gets scratched, then Mugatu goes in. So right. not in the current field then, I guess.
Not in the current field.
All right, so
you got to go somewhere else.
All right, I'm going to go somewhere else. All right, let's go. We're going to go with T.O. Password.
Yeah.
T.O. Password.
T.O., what's up with that?
T.O., out of Japan, this horse. T.O. Password is a weird combination of names. If it was just T.O., I might be more inclined to let him slide here a little bit, but the password part is a little strange to me, and when you look at the odds, 60-1, you're kind of along the same lines I was going for with Mugatu, which is doesn't feel like a serious threat to win this thing.
All right, go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to go with Just Steel next. I kind of had that horse in the running for like kind of a cool name, but the more I thought about it, I think about the Steelers when I see the name, and I just don't like the Steelers. So, hey, you're making me think about a boring football team that now has Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So you're off the list.
You also eliminated number 8, Just a Touch. You got the two Justs in there. You got Just Steel and Just a Touch.
Oh, yeah.
That you're eliminating. That's Just Steel, Steel. I like that reasoning, too. All right, I'm going to go between those two horses. Number 7, Honor Marie. Why are we honoring Marie? I have no idea why we're honoring Marie, so I'm not going to honor Marie. I am going to eliminate Honor Marie, 20-1 odds, the number 7 horse in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
Society Man is still available to be eliminated, correct?
No, that was the first one out.
That was the first one out. Right, we already did that. All right, I am going to... I'm out of one words, aren't I? How many do we have left?
No, number 5.
There he is. Yeah, number 5. Get out of here. Catalytic?
That's Catalytic. Cool.
Catalytic out. 40-1 odds. I'm not going to lie. The horse kind of looks like a winner to me. There's got that majestic look to it. But Catalytic is not the name of a winner in my book.
How do you determine the horse? I know they can look different, but they're all majestic looking.
I guess this one, like, you know, a little bit of a darker brown at the front, a little bit of a lighter brown at the back. So you got kind of
that white spot in the forehead, right?
Yeah, you got the white hooves also on the bottom. I don't know. This horse just has like a look to it. But
okay.
I'm not letting that overcome the one word name thing.
All right, we got a few left here. We got number 4, Catching Freedom. We got number 11, Forever Young. We got number 12, Track Phantom. We got number 16, Grand Me to the First. And we got number 21, Epic Ride. Go ahead, Josh.
See, I'm getting into the point where I like all the names remaining. Like,
My
least
That's why Kentucky Derby Survivor is tough.
Right. I think my least favorite, though, is Forever Young. When we played that song yesterday, I was watching the music video, and it is the weirdest music. It's the most 80s music video I've ever seen. So just because of that music video, I'm going to eliminate this horse.
I didn't think this would be so fun, but you're right. The music video is so awful. Song is great. My God, Joe. Go watch the music video. I don't know what's more weird, to be quite honest with you. All right? That music video or Total Eclipse of the Heart music video? Did you guys ever see that one?
No, that one either.
Okay, in the break, go watch Total Eclipse of the Heart, like the actual music video. It is the freakiest, weirdest thing. I have no idea what it has to do with anything. Okay?
Interesting. All right.
Bonnie Raitt, I think that's I'm not positive. Maybe I just confused somebody. Anyway, that's the point. Okay, my turn here. I'm going to go with Catching Freedom. Yeah, it's a cool name, America. You're going to get a lot of people who are very patriotic, probably.
Sal hates freedom. You heard it here first. Just kidding.
Listen, this is that's what I want my baseball teams. Are catching freedom. July 4th, Memorial Day. Here we go. Going to catch freedom, basically. Not in my horses. Don't need catching freedom. Need someone's going to run, not catch. So I'm eliminating Catching Freedom here, number 4.
All right. So who do we have left? We have
12, 16, and 21.
Okay. I am... All right, let's eliminate Epic Ride. Ooh. Not a bad name. I like it. The horse itself.
I love the name.
Earnings-wise, there's no reason. Odds-wise, 30-1. You know, you're right down the middle, so I don't have a reason one way or the other there. But I do think that the other names... I like a good creative name, and I feel like the other two are better than Epic Ride. Epic Ride's fine, but I like the other two names more.
I think that's a great name, by the way. It's an epic ride that horse gave me. Like, you never know what you're going to get on Epic Ride, right? I don't know. Josh, 12 and 16, it's down to you. You can eliminate and determine for us which one we're going to be rooting for.
It's
number 12, Track Phantom, and number 16, Grand Me to the First.
It's easy. It's got to be Track Phantom because I don't...
You're eliminating or rooting for?
Eliminating. Because on my screen, 16 is Grand Mo the First. And if you look...
I wrote Grand Me. I said Grand Me. I'm sorry. Grand Mo the First. That's right.
And
that's
his
right.
So Grand Mo, the first dad, his horse, that horse's name is Uncle Mo. So, I mean,
oh,
you got to just you gotta stick to the lineage there. So it's got to be Grand Mo the first. That's who we're going to root for. Track Phantom
yes.
was cool, but he's unfortunately out.
And I might also say I'm very happy that this resulted in Grand Mo the first being our winner. When Larry Kalmus, right, is the play-by-play man for the Kentucky Derby?
Ooh, I think that sounds right.
Okay.
I don't want to confirm, though.
I think it's Larry Kalmus. I love his calls. Like, the Rich Strike call, we should play that at some point, like, from a couple years ago. Coming back, like, one of the best play-by-play calls, I feel like, in sports. I love that call down the stretch. And I could just imagine him shouting, Grand Mo the First, as he roars to victory. That's the call I want.
You said it, Uncle Mo. I like this tidbit of information, Josh. Thank you for bringing that to us. Grand Mo the First. I'm reading here from the Courier Journal, which says, perhaps he can earn some redemption for his sire, Uncle Mo, who would have been the Derby favorite in 2011, but had to scratch because of an illness. Why he can't win? Four straight third place finishes don't inspire confidence.
The revenge game.
Yes!
Revenge game.
Uncle Mo. 2011, couldn't run because he was sick.
And I said this yesterday, if he wins, then you could have a dynasty here, Grand Mo the second, Grand Mo the third. We could have a long line of Grand Mo's winning at the Kentucky Derby.
Grand Mo the first. I have him right now at 50-1, is that correct?
I just closed it, but that sounds right. It was not.
So,
it was not
one of the big long shots. One of the big long shots. That's for sure. All right, we did it. Kentucky Derby survivor, the horse we are going to root for as a group here on the Extra Point Show. The Extra Point Show is all in on Grand Mo the First, 50-1 odds. We hope you enjoyed that. Hey, that helped me actually learn a bit more about the horses, so thanks, guys. I appreciate that. We got Evan Lazar today. Evan's our guy we go to for all Patriots stuff and also Celtics, Bruins. He's all into Boston sports. We got a lot we can cover and talk about with Evan. He's going to join us here after this next time out. And then Matt Perino, our buddy from Syracuse.com and NewYorkUpstate.com, he's going to join us at the top of the next hour. We'll recap the Bills draft with him, get a different perspective from, you know, someone who follows the Bills and covers the Bills, see what he has to say about the Buffalo Bills 2024 draft. It is a Thursday. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are very, very happy to be along with you today and glad that you're along with us here on WGR. Stick with us. Evan Lazar up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They outscore Miami by 74 points. In a five-game series, they eliminate the Miami Heat, and the Boston Celtics are the first team onto round two in the Eastern Conference. The final score, Boston 118, Miami 84. The Celtics win the series 4-1, and once again are on to the second round of the playoffs.
Well, Celtics, big win last night. They wind up crushing the Miami Heat. They win the series 4-1. Dallas wins last night. The Mavericks, they beat the Clippers. They're now up 3-2 in that series. You have the couple games going on tonight. Excuse me. A couple NBA games going on tonight. Pacers lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-2. And the Knicks, of course, lead the Sixers 3-2.
The Knicks. They would be the funniest thing ever if they blow this. The funniest. We talk about how funny it is the Leafs when they go out in the playoffs in hysterical ways. If the Knicks blow a 3-1 lead, everyone's got a Knicks fan that they'll just be ready to text the second that happens.
And then, of course, tonight, the Boston Bruins have a chance to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs. And our guy Evan Lazar is plugged in all things Boston sports. We're going to bring him on right now. If you can pull him up for me, Josh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Evan, of course, we talked about the Patriots all the time, but he's plugged into all Boston sports. I got to tell you, Evan, listen, first of all, we love having you on. We are in a very, very big conundrum here in Buffalo. Pretty much the two most hated hockey teams for all Buffalo Sabres fans are the Bruins and Leafs. Some people put Leafs 1, Bruins 2. Some people put Bruins 1, Leafs 2. So we don't really know what to do with this series, to be quite honest with you.
I don't know what to do with this series either, Sal, because I am sweating it out right now as a Bruins fan. Let me tell you, this is what happens with the Boston Bruins every single year. It feels like they get up 3-1, 3-2, commanding lead in the series, and then all of a sudden we're in game seven and we're in a third period where it's tied. And just like last year, you know, up 3-1 against Florida, they end up losing in seven games. So I think everybody in Boston right now is thinking Leafs in seven, to be honest with you, because this is just how it goes for the Bruins, unfortunately.
They should have just put their foot on them the other night without Austin Matthews. That they did not play a good hockey game at all, and that was their chance. Just, bam, put this team away right now, right? I mean, isn't that the thought?
Oh, 100%. That was their chance, and Jim Montgomery, their coach, has been pretty fired up in his media availabilities the last, let's call it 12, 20, whatever it's been, 24 hours. Just saying that, you know, they didn't play a playoff hockey game the other night. They played a regular season game through the game and just expected the Leafs, I think, without Austin Matthews to roll over. And that's not what happened. And if it wasn't for Jeremy Swayman in that game, who's been fantastic, and the Bruins probably lose that game, 4-5-1, and it's not even as close as it was at the end.
The Bruins and the Leafs, they're continuing their series. And then the Celtics, on the other hand, I mean, we just played the clip. They're winning. Is this like a fait accompli? It's just going to be the Celtics coming out of the East. I mean, who really can challenge them?
Yeah, I mean, look, with that Porzingis, he's probably not going to the Eastern Conference Finals now. And my guess is they'll be really careful with that and probably won't bring him back until they're facing elimination or in a closeout game or something along those lines until later on in the playoffs. So without him, it makes their margin for error a little bit thinner. I don't think that they're a cakewalk every single series now to the finals without Porzingis healthy. But in general, this Celtics team is really, really good. And I think, we just talked about the Bruins and their choke jobs in the past, but this Celtics team different because of some of the personalities that they have brought in, some of the different players from that team that was in the finals a couple years ago. They're a little bit older, a little bit more battle-tested, and the Celtics of the past would have probably lost last night to Miami and that series would have gone six or seven games for no reason. But instead, they stomped on the throat, and not only did they win, but they won by 30 points. So it was an easy win, and I think that shows you some growth from the Celtics for sure.
You know, I know that, you know, they're passionate about all their sports teams, and anybody I would ask, I'd get a different answer on this, but I'll ask you from your perspective. You cover Boston sports, you're a Boston sports fan, you grew up there, you've watched championships in all these different sports, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox. All right, when all of them are good, when all of them are contending for championships, what does the town mostly gravitate to? Like, you'd say, like that's the team that kind of trumps the others, even though they're all up there, obviously.
Yeah, I think at the core, Boston is still a Red Sox town. You know, I think that if you had to say which team, when they're on a run, you know, and you go back into my youth and my childhood, you know, the 04 Red Sox obviously are the team that gets held above, I think, any other over some of those Patriots teams. It was a Brady town. It was a Patriots town when he was here, I would say, for a while. And if you did a survey of fans here, I think the Patriots would still be, you know, football's king, right? So the Patriots would still be the number one team for most people. But I don't think that there's anything quite like the Red Sox going on a playoff run here in Boston and Fenway Park and all that kind of stuff. So I think in the core, Boston is still a Red Sox town.
Well, that's a great transition for us to talk about the Patriots, because obviously they're a team in transition right now. We know that big transition. No more Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo comes in. Elliot Wolf is in there making the draft picks. What is the fan reaction to what they've done this offseason, obviously mostly including drafting Drake May last weekend?
Yeah, I think the majority of fans are just excited that they didn't royally screw this up in the draft. I think there was some fear of the old Belichick trade down, right? They'll, you know, have this great pick that should be this exciting player for the organization, and they trade down with Minnesota or something like that. They didn't go that route. They stuck to their guns, and they didn't take a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix super early at 3 overall, and they took the consensus guy, and I think that has fans, for the most part, feeling optimistic, like they're making the right decisions in the front office. You know, this team still, I think, has a concern on offense in terms of top-end talent. You know, they don't really have that number one receiver still. They don't have a premium tackle. You know, their left tackle is still a major void for this team, and they're actually going to try to flip two guys, Chukwukong for veteran they got from the Steelers in free agency, and the rookie they just drafted from Penn State, Kaden Wallace. Both guys have been right tackles for the majority of their careers in football, and now they're going to try to flip those guys over to left tackle and see if they can get starting caliber left tackle play out of two right tackles. So there's still some moving parts on offense, but in general, I think, you know, quarterback, they double dip at receiver, which everybody here is starving for them to have playmakers. I think that has people cautiously optimistic, but there's still a long way to go for this team.
There were some reports and rumors that they tried to move up to 33 when the Bills were on the clock that day number two. Now, the presumption would be Keon Coleman, because maybe they get intel that the Bills want to take Keon Coleman. It could be somebody else, obviously. Do you think that maybe that was a target? Would they have liked to brought him in? And do you buy into those reports that maybe they were looking to move up to get that pick to make sure that they got him before the Bills might have?
I think they were actually trying to move up to the back end of the first round, to be honest with you. And what I had heard is that they were trying to trade with Buffalo at 32 when the Bills originally
That's
had 32.
Yes.
And the Bills didn't want to trade with the Patriots because they didn't want to trade in division and give the Patriots the player that they wanted. So
I might have screwed that up. You're right. That was 32, not 33. But thank you for the correction. And I get it. But go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think it was actually Keon Coleman. I think they wanted Xavier Leggett, who ended up going with that pick to Carolina. So the Bills made sure Xavier Leggett ended up in Carolina instead of ending up in New England. And I think the Patriots had conversations with a couple teams at the back end of the first round, including the Niners, who waited until the very last minute, it felt like, when they were on the clock to turn in their card. I think that they had conversations with a couple of those teams about moving up to try to jump Carolina for Xavier Leggett, because Leggett had come out a couple of days before the draft and said the Panthers were going to draft him at the top of the second round. So everybody kind of knew that that was the guy that they were targeting. So the Patriots, you know, they were going to take a receiver there. know if it would have been Keon Coleman. My gut tells me it was Leggett, but either one of those guys, I think they've shown some interest in that type of skill set, you know, that catch and run player, whether it's Leggett, it's Keon Coleman. There's been rumors linking them to Deebo Samuel in a potential trade with the Niners. So I think that they're trying to get that type of player. That's a guy that they can, you know, feed the ball to and have him run with it.
Joe and I have kind of debated the Bills trading with Kansas City and whether or not they should even do that, right? Despite the value, just like, hey, you shouldn't really help them. What about New England, Joe? Are you okay with the Bills? Like, if the Bills would have said, no, we'll do that with New England at 32, or are you in the same boat as you are with when you talk about Kansas City?
I personally think it's different. I mean, the Chiefs are at a level that New England's not. It's interesting, though, to hear that, Evan, because it would signify that they would be okay with trading. I know it's out of division, but they've played the Chiefs twice a year for three of the last 4 years. And then New England, they're not trading with them because they're in division and you play them twice a year. But I don't know. It's just it is different circumstances, but it's interesting to hear that they would even, you know, that would be important to them, I guess.
Yeah, and look, the stuff that's being reported here is obviously from the Patriots' perspective, as you can imagine. So who knows, you know, what the Bills would say about this. But I have heard that the Patriots actually offered them more than Carolina did in the trade. And the Patriots tried to offer them, you know, a division tax, right? You know, they knew they were trading it into the division. So they tried to offer a little bit more than Carolina to incentivize Buffalo to make that deal. And the Bills took Carolina's deal. So I don't know if maybe the Bills are worried about somebody trading up into 33 for Keon Coleman, taking 34 instead of 33. I don't know. You know, there's a million different variables there. But there was definitely some jockeying there at the end of the first round between the Bills and the Patriots. And it sounds like the Bills just decided that the lesser of two evils was to give the pick to Carolina and not to New England.
Interesting stuff. Evan Lazar, he's a senior reporter and host of Patriots Catch 22 at Patriots.com, joining us on the West Her Hotline. All right, so they're going to have to expect maybe Jalen Polk and Javon Baker to come right in and make an impact, because you just said it. There's some opportunity at wide receiver. What does the offense look like going forward? We've had such a transition here. What are we looking at with the Patriots and how they want to operate? There's been so much talk about that and different things they've done over the last few years.
Yeah, so they brought in Alex Van Pelt, veteran coordinator with the Browns for the last 4 years. He's been in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers before that. And they want to run a Shanahan-style offense. You know, they want to be outside zone. They want to be play action, bootleg. They want to be vertical in the passing game, I think, and take shots down the field. And that's why you get a quarterback that can move around with a big arm like Drake May. You know, it's a great fit for what they want to do. And they want to be a more explosive offense. But I think first and foremost, when we talked to Jerod Mayo earlier this offseason about what he was looking for in terms of schematically what he was looking for in the offense, he really pointed to that Shanahan-McVay tree. And that if you look at the guys that they interviewed before they hired Van Pelt, they interviewed Shanahan McVay disciple. You know, they had Nick Cayley, very serious interest in Nick Cayley, who was here before he went to the Rams, but he spent the last couple of years in Los Angeles on McVay's staff as his tight ends coach. They brought in a couple guys, you know, Clint Kubiak, some of those types of guys from the 49ers as well. So they were very interested in this type of offense, and it's going to be different. It's, you know, the New England offense of old with Josh McDaniels and Charlie Weiss and all those guys was a downhill gap scheme in the run game, and was, you know, mix and match and personnel matchups and things like that in the past. I think it's going to be pretty different this time around.
Do you think Drake May fits that? You've done a lot of, you know, stuff and looking at these quarterbacks, obviously, because New England had the third pick. You think Drake May fits what they want to do pretty well?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, he's been, since January, I've been saying that Drake May is the best fit for them because of this reason. Okay. I just think that they have a great stylistic fit with him. His deep passing grade was third best in the class last year in the FBS. And he's, you know, he's a deep ball thrower that can move around. He's an athletic guy. He's got good mobility and he's got a huge arm. So if you want to run a lot of moving pockets, if you want to run play action and then throw the ball down the field off of play action, this is a guy that can, you know, attack the middle of the field, that has the arm talent to, you know, throw a post in between tight coverage or seam route or something like that. And That's what they want to be, and I think he fits it to an absolute T. Now, he's got some things he's got to work on, similarly, honestly, to what Josh Allen had when he came into the league, you know, footwork, mechanics, timing, you know, that sort of stuff. That he's not a finished product by any means, and that's why a guy like Jacoby Brissett is here. So if the Bills play the Patriots early on in the year, don't if Jacoby Brissett is the one that's starting for the Patriots. I don't think that Drake May is going to start right away here. I think they're going to take it slow with him. They have no reason to rush him into the lineup. You know, they have a pretty long leash as this being the first year of Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf. So I think that they're going to sit him for a while. I don't know if it'll be his entire rookie season, but it'll be for at least, you know, a half the year, I would say.
How about that, Joe? So we don't know for sure. We think maybe the schedule gets released a week from tonight. That's not confirmed. It just kind of feels like that's what the NFL is going to do. Joe, if it's week one, Patriots, Bills, or week two or three, right? You're not getting Drake May there. Maybe, right? According to how Evan's, you know, kind of talking.
That would deflate it a little bit. I've said this, though, Evan. My favorite idea for the Bills week one, I want them at home 1 o'clock. Just like, can we just start off with a banger, you know? And no offense to the Patriots, just in terms of the opponents the Bills have, like, they'd probably be favored against New England as much as anybody. So I'd like that to be week one, but if it's Brissett, that definitely would take, you know, some of the shine off it if May doesn't take the job out of camp.
Yeah, we'll see. And look, Jerod player is going to play, but I think that there's just a really good argument to be made that maybe Drake May is the best quarterback on the roster for week one, but is it really in his best interest to throw him out there in week one? And we have to think about it, you know, from a long-term perspective. You know, this isn't about winning week one 2024. This is about Drake May's career and hopefully being the quarterback here for an awfully long time. So even though he might be better or more talented, he should be, than Jacoby Brissett in week one, it might not be what's best for his long-term development to throw him out to the Wolves, especially when they have some issues still on offense in terms of star power and firepower on the outside and tackle and, you know, some things that they still have to work out. You don't really want to break him by throwing him out there behind a bad offensive line without much to throw to.
Real quick, just a wrap for me on the receivers, because this guy's not a big name, and he might be the sixth name that a casual NFL fan says about Patriots receivers, but DeMario Douglas as a rookie, like, I don't know, Evan, some of the analysis I've seen in him was that he was legitimately good at getting open in year one. So I know there's Juju and there's Bourne and the rookies they just drafted, but I don't know, shouldn't I be open to Douglas being one of their top wideouts again this year?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. I would say that DeMario Douglas, and I don't think it was particularly close, was their most dangerous playmaker on the offense last year as a rookie. Yeah, a sixth-round pick out of Liberty. He was fantastic last year to the point where later on in the season, he was starting to see double coverage. He was starting to see top corners from the other team traveling in the slot with him, you know, things like that, that number one receivers would see in the league. In terms of separation, in terms of energy with the football in his hands and just explosiveness on the field, he's Patriots' a most explosive receiver. I really do believe that. And I think that he's going to see a ton of opportunities still. I hope, you know, that he sees a ton of opportunities still. Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, the two guys that they drafted, definitely bigger, have more size, have more ability to play on the outside. But I think the Patriots are hoping that down the road, it's Baker, it's Polk, and it's Pop. You know, those three guys are the guys that really take this thing and run with it. As much as I think they love the energy and the play that Kendrick Bourne brings to the table at times, I think that that's the future here in New England. Hopefully, offensive nucleus with those three guys. And I think Pop Douglas is a real big-time playmaker, a problem for a lot of teams, especially with his quickness and with his ability to create plays. He was a very good player for them last year and a great draft pick, honestly, to get him in the sixth round. And when he drafted him, I talked a lot about how he was kind of like the day three Zay Flowers of that draft. You know, Zay Flowers was the number one guy in that mold, but Pop Douglas at the Shrine Bowl really started to stand out, where it was like, was there really that big of a difference between these two guys when you really whittle it down, other than the level of competition in the ACC versus Liberty? So I'm excited for Pop Douglas, and I'm sure that they're not burying him by any means.
Evan, we always love having you on. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight. I know you guys are on pins and needles. hoping the Bruins don't blow it here, but I mean, I think they'll win one of the next two games, but we'll see where it goes. Enjoy it, and thank you very much once again.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. You got it. You got it. All right, Joe, when we come back, forget what you've read anywhere. If you're looking it up, don't. I finally have it. Confirmed. Bills draft picks in 2025. We'll run through them. Exactly where they are set up for the 2025 draft, because I think it's very interesting leading into this year and could impact that as well. We'll explain next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, real quick, because we have to get to a break. I tease it. I just want to tell everybody, forget what you read on like the 2025 NFL Draft Wikipedia page. It doesn't have it listed. There's a couple of charts out there. They're all wrong. I've confirmed it today with the people that I confirm it with. All right, here are the Bills draft picks for next year as of right now. Not comp picks. Comp picks come in later. These are not comp picks.
Okay.
They have a first. They have their own second, Minnesota second. They have a third, a fourth, Chicago's fourth, a sixth, and a sixth from the Giants in the Boogie Basham trade. A 1, 2 2s, a 3, 2 4s, 2 6s. They're pretty loaded right now in the draft, Joe.
Okay. That is loaded. So I don't know if the chart that I saw this morning that is 100% accurate, but the one I saw was that they are ahead of all the other 31 teams right now for next year.
Not in terms of where they're slotted,
but like just volume right. of picks and yep. where the rounds are. Like there was someone else that has a second and a fifth added. But the Bills were above that with a second and a fourth or whatever it was.
And I think the Eagles have a few. But, yeah, they are pretty well stocked. And that doesn't even count comp picks, and they're going to get a few of those. But there it is. I tweeted it out. Go check it out at Sal Sports. You can see that. And I do think they could come into play this year if they need to make a move at the deadline, by the way. That's why I think it's also important for 2024. We'll take a timeout. Matt Parrino, NewYorkUpstate.com, joins us next on the Bills and the Draft.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Look at how Keon Coleman just gets buckets. Like, he's the Anthony Edwards of the receiver position. Like, someone that's brash. He's the George Pickens of this draft. You know, so I was shocked to see him not go. You want someone like that on the perimeter, but they both land in ideal spots. He's going to be a star in Buffalo.
That's our guy, Emery Hunt. Really big praise there for Keon Coleman. He's a Keon Coleman believer. Thinks he's going to come into Buffalo, do really well, make an immediate impact, and be a star. So you can always check those interviews out anytime we talk to guys like Emery, anybody else like Evan Lazar a little while ago, on demand at WGR550.com, and of course on the Odyssey app. And this guy, one of our favorites, Matt Parrino, Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt joins us on the Western Hotline. Matt, it's Sal and Joe. Good morning to you, buddy.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Doing well. This weather's amazing, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. We got some baseball this weekend. Saturday, although, is looking a little bit ominous rain-wise. Hopefully that clears up here and we can get some games in.
We have our annual parade on Saturday. I unfortunately won't be a part of it, but the North Buffalo baseball, they march all the way down Hurdle, and it's super cool, right? That's the cool thing about these house leagues, right? You want to call them, like, you're over in Central Amherst, and I'm in North Buffalo, and it's just kind of cool when you get everybody together in the park to enjoy it, right?
Oh my gosh, it's great. We have Color Guard coming out this week.
Yeah.
We used to do, like, around 4th of July, we used to do, like, a same kind of deal where we'd go down Main Street They've stopped it since the pandemic, but I think there's a little bit of a energy behind bringing it back. It's just a cool time to get all the kids together, to lead together. I mean, we talked about it at our coaches meeting the other night. Like, you know, you create kind of like this mini little community, and it's cool. Yep. And you see the kids have fun. It's awesome.
It is. And by the way, on the rain stuff, it's been a tough April to get. And I know you have two kids who play. It's got to be even tougher, right? You got a baseball, you got softball. And I know I'm coaching two teams. You're coaching two teams. It's just so tough with the rain. I mean, you know, to balance it out. So by the time we get to now, it's like, all right, let's just go out there and play and see what we can do.
Right. Honestly, like, we might just be playing in the rain because we get to this point after all these practices where it's just like, if it's not like a downpour, we're going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Parrino on the West Her Hotline. Dust has settled, Matt. We look back. The draft started a week ago tonight. The Bills were not involved in the first round after they traded out, obviously. They get to the second round. They have the first pick on day two. And then, of course, everything happens on Saturday. When you just kind of look back, you've had time to digest it. You've written about it. You've thought about it. What's your overall assessment of what they did in this class, whether it is by philosophy or what they brought out of it?
Well, one of the big things going into the draft was I thought more important than the wide receiver, the specific wide receiver that they got, I thought it made a lot of sense to double dip, right? And they don't do that. They go and they get Keon Coleman. Brandon Bean comes out and says after the fact that that was what they were going and trying to do, getting somebody in the first two rounds, and then, you know, bringing up guys like Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, fifth round pick last year, where, you know, that they feel might be able be ready to have some production this season, or at least find a role on the team, and explaining why they didn't double dip. But I've really liked the Green Bay Packers model over the last couple of years. Continue to kind of litter the wide receiver room with young talent, developmental talent. I know you don't want to spend maybe a fourth or fifth round pick and then not have that player make the team. So that's a bit of a challenge when you go out and you bring in a Mac Hollins and you bring in the Curtis Samuel, you're basically – and the Bills are in a different spot. I mean, the Packers have done this as they've moved on from Aaron Rodgers and kind of been in wait mode around Jordan Love. So it's a little bit different when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen that you're paying. On Coleman, though, like specifically, he's somebody that I think it was like 3 weeks ago, there was something that came out. I think Ryan Talbot, my guy at Syracuse.com, put out a report about maybe the Bills having some interest in Keon Coleman. And so I started to do my work on him. And, of course, the separation issues or, you know, the scouting report says there's separation issues. They give you cause for pause because if you're Brandon Bean, you know, you're bringing in a guy and you're basically placing him at the X receiver boundary spot. And there's a lot of people that think that maybe he should play on the inside at slot in like a big slot role. You have questions about that. But I like the skill set a little bit more than most because of what I think he can do run after the catch because of his physicality. But there's two different, you know, the Sal, Joe, mm-hmm. There's two different kinds of run after the catch. The guys that get great separation, get open, and then have free space to roam. Then there's those guys that are just kind of bullies that create their own run after the catch. And I think that that's kind of what Coleman is. And, man, I've been listening to him talk over the last week here, and it's hard not to fall in love with the person, but also like the mindset. Like, he is no bones about it. He doesn't try to fake any of it. He doesn't try to cover any of it up. Maybe that'll change over time once he's with the Bills for a couple of years. But he seems like the perfect fit for the guy that they were going to go out and get post Stephon Diggs, the complete opposite of that, a guy that wants to be on this team, wants to play with Josh Allen, wants all the smoke. I put out a tweet yesterday. He was on with Robert Griffin III and basically talking about, like, you know, whether it's the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Jets, he's coming for all of them. I mean, he just kind of fits what I think that they were looking for. Now, if he can play, that's still a question. We'll see how it works, especially in a very important rookie season. But I like the draft overall, too. Like, I like the offensive lineman, the defensive tackle. They found their safety. I think I like more than where they got Cole Bishop at 60. I think I like the way that the Bills feel about him more than I feel about him at the spot that they got him. Because I felt like going into the draft, like, go get a safety on day three, find somebody that you like, that you want to develop. You got a couple of veterans that you have on the roster now. It's not a position that they've ever valued in that way. But for them to invest a second round draft pick says more to me than what I think about the player or the position.
the run after catch too, like he can move. That's why, Matt, like even though he has not been a separator in college at all, like when you see him with the ball in his hands, like there's a twitch with him movement wise that like he gets compared to Gabe Davis. I don't remember seeing that a lot with Davis, and it makes me wonder if Coleman, it's more just about technique than, you know, his ability to move side to side. I think that gets to what? Coaching him up and developing him into a separator.
Right. And I think they're banking on their ability to do that. And I think he comes in too with different parts of his skill set that are different than Gabe Davis and even Diggs. But, you know, Brandon talks so much about like his release package, like at the line of scrimmage, and that they'd see a lot of potential there. He's going to have to develop. He's only 20 years old, too. That's another part of this, guys, that I think a lot of wide receivers don't come into the league this moldable. Like, as a guy that comes in, he played two sports in college. I mean, Tom Izzo basically had to talk him out of continuing his basketball career to focus on football because he was so good at it. He's had all of these really big moments in two seasons between Michigan State and Florida State. Has it always been super consistent? No, but I feel like the high moments and what he kind of has put out there, the competitive part of his game, you get really excited about. And I think he fits, the way that he kind of fits into this wide receiver room is nice as well, because you have Curtis Samuel, who could be that operator on the line of scrimmage. You have Khalil Shakir, who has become that slot guy. He kind of like, you know, middle part of the field, even down the field. Like, he made a couple of nice plays and had his own little run after catch last year. And then I think they have a couple of guys that they're hoping can fit into that deep ball role. And I know Keon Coleman can probably have some deep ball impact, but like Justin Shorter in preseason last year, that's where he had a couple of moments. Tyrell Shavers plays a little bit faster than his 40 time. And then I think the big gamble, the big hope, is that KJ Hamler can give you something or anything, because some of his highlights back in 2020 and 2021, I mean, he's an absolute burner with like sub 4.3 speed. And so those highlights in Denver were down the field, like beating the coverage, getting behind the defense. And maybe you could see Josh Allen utilize him a little bit. We still don't know enough about Hamler's health. Like, I'm very interested. I don't think we'll get him at rookie camp next week, but when OTAs start, I'm pretty sure all of the media members are going to be making their way over to KJ Hamler pretty early to figure out, all right, what's it been like being out of football for almost 2 years? What went into all of that? So we can kind of reset the expectations for him, because what they think of him and what he thinks he can be in this offense, I think is going to affect how we look at what they need to do the rest of the way before the season starts in terms of adding at the position.
Do you think they're still looking to add, or even make, if that is true, if you do think they are, because I think obviously they still have to get to 90 guys in some capacity. What about like a bigger name? You know, Brandon said to us, there's no big trade coming. They are opening up $10 million in cap space on June 1st, though, for the Tre'Davious White situation and cap relief. So, you know, how do you see that?
I don't think a big money deal, but if they can get somebody on a incentive-laden deal and maybe add a couple of void years, but not for a big number. Like, what did Odell Beckham Jr. Make last season? I think he made like $9.5 million. So if you could bring that down, his stats weren't great in Baltimore. He's a year older. If you can get him and his market's not like crazy hot, and you can get him for about $5 million on the cap, and that works with your cap, or maybe even a little less if you add void years. Yeah, I definitely think that's something they should consider. I mean, Brandon Bean has always talked about adding competition. I don't think you should be afraid of adding players and then having to, you know, especially if it's a one-year short-term investment. Say you bring in Odell Beckham Jr., you get to the season, you're like, yeah, we'd be better off without him. Okay, well, you weren't going to spend that money anyway. There's probably not a lot of else that's out there that you're super excited about, but you do want to insulate yourself a little bit against a very unproven group of commodities in that room. Now, I also think that this offense has been reshaped a little bit, especially at receiver, in Joe Brady's image, like what he wants, potentially some of the changes that he's going to institute, maybe running the ball a little bit more, maybe a little bit more play action. Obviously, he was really trying to work the screen game, specifically with Stephon Diggs last year, and it was a complete flop when he tried to do that. They brought in players that I think can help him unlock that package. But I definitely think that DJ Chark's out there, Allen Robinson on a vet minimum flyer, something like that,
just to add to the room. I don't think they're going to do any of that until June, to your point. But I wouldn't rule out an addition, especially if you get through this spring program and maybe you're not as high on Hamler as you were, or Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shavers, you know, maybe haven't lived up to the hype that kind of seems to be there now after Brandon Bean's comments. I think you go out and make a move.
Yeah.
Well, one name that they're not going to get apparently is Tyler Boyd. It looks like he's going to the Titans, guys. That's being reported widely that that's expected to happen here. So what do you think about that, Joe?
I like the player. I think, Matt, I don't know if you agree with this. Like, he never was a great idea for me here because he's, you know, like we're already talking about Coleman maybe
redundancy.
In the slot eventually. And Boyd, you know, he can play the outside, but that's why I've been wondering about Zay Jones more. Just because, not even the reunion part of it, just he plays mostly on the outside the last couple years in Jacksonville. I feel like if the Bills add a receiver, it's got to be a specific type.
I agree. I think that's why guys like Robinson, DJ Chark, OBJ, who plays a little bit of slot but like can do a lot more things on the outside, make more sense. I think it's very redundant. I think you also have Andy Isabella in the mix. They obviously liked him enough to bring him back. He's somebody that's now a year in the system. When he played kind of in the slot for them. They have a lot of options at that spot and different flavors. And I think adding another guy that would, you know, a guy like Tyler Boyd that's going to play a huge percentage of snaps, to your point, it seems redundant. Definitely.
All right. Let me ask you this. I guess I was asking the other day, like we were talking about Matt Bova and I were doing our podcast. We did like favorite pick, least favorite pick. And it's always tough to say because not the player. I didn't love drafting a running back in the fourth round, Matt. Like it's a running back. I don't love that value. Ray Davis, 24 years old, turning 25. The player's going to be fine. I think he may, but now he's got to play though. I mean, you draft a fourth round running back, he's got to play. And I think they were okay with Ty Johnson backing up James Cook. I don't know what's there for him to play. Not my favorite idea to draft a running back in the fourth round. How do you see it?
No, I think that's really fair, and it's no coincidence that all the mock drafts that I did, I'd say 90% of them, I did two official ones for the site, and then I did, like everybody else, like 100 on all these different simulators. Very, I would say 5 to 10% of them included a running back in any round. So I agree with you. Like, I didn't think it was something that was necessary. I think they could have went out and they could have added an undrafted guy, and which they did. They brought in Frank Gore Jr., and I think that would have been as valuable considering what we think of Ty Johnson. I think it also tells you maybe where they thought the value was at that part of the draft. But then you come away thinking, okay, like why not get aggressive and trade up for somebody if you thought that maybe there was a run at that particular part of the draft? You had 4 fifth-round picks. Now, I say that all while – lauding their decision to trade a fifth for next year's fourth that could be really good depending on how Chicago ends up doing. I like that they did that in the draft. But I think there's an argument to be made there. I also thought, you know, they could have been a little bit more aggressive at the edge rusher spot. I like Javon Solomon where they got him, but was there somebody in the middle rounds? Like I was actually surprised at a couple different spots. Austin Booker out of Kansas wasn't a target. Knowing that Sean McDermott has that link with Lance Leipold down there to be able to get the intel on that guy, which then makes you wonder, well, did he have the intel and maybe he just didn't want to go after that specific guy? And that's fair as well. But I think that, you know, we did this on our podcast last night talking about, like, what's the position group coming out of this draft that you're the most concerned about? And I put it out to our insider text line, and I got a bunch of responses. Of course, wide receiver was mentioned as one of them. Diggs and Davis gone, a lot of unknown. The second probably most popular one was edge rusher. And there's this expectation that Von Miller is going to come back and be close to the version that he was last year within the building. I don't know if I'm there on that. And then you have A.J. Epenesa, who's going to take he's going to have a larger role, you know, with Leonard Floyd now not there. And Greg Rousseau, I think, is the most safe bet to be what he's been and probably take a jump. But after that, it's Solomon and Kingsley Jonathan. And will they make another add at that position? Will they prioritize that after June 1st if there's a name out there? And it's not a great bunch. I mean, there's no Leonard Floyd available right now. I'm looking at guys like Yannick Ngakoue, Carl Lawson and Emmanuel Agba. They don't get me very excited. I don't think they're going to come in here and be difference makers as a pass rusher. Ngakoue is probably the one that I would lean towards, but he's been
kind of ho-hum the last couple of years, but you could probably get him super cheap. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, and maybe I would have been – tried to flag down a guy that you really like in the draft, but maybe they're just – there's a ton of belief in Epenesa coming back here on a two-year prove-it deal.
Yeah. They could be waiting too, right, Matt? Like, I mean, that could be edge rusher or receiver or anything. The money they'll get in June, like, I wonder – like, the guy they end up signing, if they sign someone – would be someone that's on a team right now. Like, who's this year's version of DeAndre Hopkins, whether that's a defensive end or a receiver that gets cut loose? Like, I'm wondering about that in Denver right now with Cortland Sutton, because he wants to get paid, which I don't think is going to happen. And Denver, if he doesn't make good with Denver, like, they can get rid of him for nothing and free up that contract. It's kind of similar to Hopkins last year. Maybe he's a bad example, but you know what I mean? Like, the guy they end up signing is someone that we're not even thinking about right now because he's not available yet.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I don't have anybody specific in mind sitting here kind of thinking about it, but as we get towards training camp and depending on how some of these rookie players do throughout the summer, spring and summer, you could see a couple teams kind of make a cap decision and move in a different direction. I mean, Brandon Bean always mentions it, Sal, like when we're talking to him in all these press conferences, that the roster's not locked until September. You know, when they go into the games, they can always make changes. And I think guys are, you know, maybe guys that you don't even think about right now could be in the mix. You know, you get to training camp and maybe there's a, you know, an injury, or maybe there's just somebody else that a team wants to bring in and there's a cap compliant move that you can make. So yeah, I don't think anything's off the table. I think the Bills, because they're in such transition right now with how many guys, established starters that they lost from last year's team, like, they're going to be kind of like milking the process all the way up until game start.
Well, speaking of that transition, they saw a lot of leadership walk out the door, both through trade, through release, all of that. We know that. It seemed to me, and I talked a lot about this, Matt, that they really focused on that quality as well when they wound up picking these players, meaning guys who were, you know, a three-time team captain in Dwayne Carter and Bishop, who's played in complex offenses but can be a leader on the back end. Guys who can walk into a locker room, and as Brandon Bean put it when he talked about Dwayne Carter, don't have to tell him where to be, when to be there, who to follow. Guys who could just kind of walk in, do their thing, and you don't have to take time and resources to bring them up to speed. That's the way I felt about it. It kind of really spoke to me about how they're trying to reshape that locker room.
Oh, no, without a doubt. Like, I think, you know, Carter, for me, you know, he screams defensive captain, like, in the next couple of years. And somebody that, you know, Brandon Bean even went as far as to say, like, you know, they think that he could call the defense at some point at the defensive line level. And I think you get really excited about that. And Coleman, from a leadership perspective, the other thing that I took away from his appearance with RG3, and if Bills fans haven't heard it yet, it's like 50 minutes. It's really good stuff. I mean, you get a chance to see Keon Coleman in that kind of extended conversational model, and I thought it was really good. But he was asked about, at the end, about all of his other Florida State teammates that got drafted. And so he got peppered with questions. And Robert Griffin was kind of sitting back like, man, you could do what I do for a living, man. You could come on ESPN. I mean, he is breaking down every one of these guys, all their strengths, all the things that they're going to give to teams. And you could tell that there was genuine love for all of those guys on his team. And I think bringing that into a locker room, especially, like, it's weird, though, too, guys. Like, Stephon Diggs was such an enigma in the way that, like, the perception of him, the way that it seemed like the outside, that, like, some of his behavior might have been divisive. But at the same time, every player I ever talked to that was teammates with Stephon Diggs raved about him as a teammate. So, like, it's hard to really pinpoint – like, what went wrong, where the kind of divide was, and if that was even something that needed to be added when bringing in a wide receiver, because Gabe Davis was a captain on the team too. But I just think that Keon Coleman has a youthful energy about him. He's coming into the room, he's bringing that, and it's kind of a reshaped offense too. A lot of the veteran leaders, to your point, Mitch Moore's not there anymore. You know, they go out and they get Cedric Van Pran Granger, who has all of these college accolades. I mean, two national championships, three-year starter at Georgia, and comes with the stamp of approval from Aaron Cromer. I'm not ruling out, we talked about this on the show last night, him winning that center job and pushing Connor McGovern back over to left guard. He comes in kind of like ready-made. So a lot of interesting new stories to follow, but you're right, a lot of leadership.
No doubt about it. And obviously, you guys are all over it as well. You and Ryan Talbot. By the way, Ryan, he does such a great job on the undrafted free agent tracker. And, you know, I always push people to him and say, listen, people ask me, I'm like, look, Ryan Talbot does an amazing job over there. He's got it on top of it. And, you know, we linked it up on our site and everything. So just want to give him a lot of accolades on there. You work with him all the time. You guys, you do the Shout podcast. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Yeah, man, Ryan is unmatched around draft time. And really all year long, he's great. But, like, he is he's constantly chasing all of the agents down and all of the different draft visits, pre-draft, and then after the draft, guys that are coming in learning about all these UDFAs. And we talk about all of it on the Shout podcast. And obviously, coming up over the next 2 months, this is the most fun we have all year long. Like, the camp stuff over the next 5 weeks, then obviously training camp in Pittsburgh for a couple of weeks. We take everybody inside as much as we can, and it's going to be a fun ride. A lot of – the one cool thing, too, we talked about this, Sal, is like with so much changeover, there's this opportunity to build all these new relationships with all these new players. And professionally, I'm super excited for that and the opportunity that comes with that and learning more about this team. So it's going to be a fun summer. I'm excited about it.
No doubt about it. Enjoy baseball. We'll talk to you down the road. Now, I'm going to see you very shortly down at One Bills Drive, buddy.
Yes, sir. Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. Matt Parrino right there on the Western Hotline, Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com. Joe, we think the schedule's coming out a week from tonight, but it hasn't been confirmed yet, right? I actually asked somebody today in the NFL, and they're like, I don't even know. I don't know. Is that happening? I don't know. And I'm like, please, come on. When's it going to happen then? Like the following week? It's got to be next Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we're all good. It's usually, I looked, it's almost always on a Thursday. Last 2 years, when they moved it to May, it's been on a Thursday. It's usually the second week in May, but it doesn't have to be. Anyway, all that said, we're going to take a look at it. I want to know your favorite week one idea. We just talked a little bit about the Patriots and how the luster would be off if it's not Drake May. Let's take a look at the NFL schedule. Let's take your favorite week one idea and then maybe kind of rank the possibilities of primetime exposure for the Buffalo Bills. We'll do that as well. Mike North joined Matt Bove and me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. You can check that out on the Odyssey app, of course, wherever you pod, and at the Sal Sports YouTube page. A lot of great stuff on the NFL schedule, so that can lend a little bit of insight into how we kind of approach this. We'll do that next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
But the running game is going to be even stronger with the drafting of Ray Davis out of Kentucky. I think the fact that Keon Coleman is going to be one of those guys who, despite the fact that he is not a barn burner, okay, he's not a 4-2 guy, he's not Xavier Worthy, his functional speed is fantastic, his ability to high foot the football is fantastic, his ability to run after the catch is fantastic, and I think it fits perfectly with Dalton Kincaid, it fits perfectly with Khalil Shakir. They will utilize all these guys to their strengths and minimize their weaknesses, and they will be better on defense to the point where Buffalo just has that in their DNA. They're going to be contenders. They're a very well-coached football team, and they still have Josh Allen.
All right, that's Lewis Riddick. I like that. I just think it's a great point. I think there's been a lot of overreaction on the Bills and where they are and who they can be next year, Joe. I'm not sitting here telling you I do think that they're worse off in some areas, like wide receiver, no doubt. And there's a lot of questions, and there are questions about defensive end. It's still a really darn good roster, and they have Josh Allen. There's a reason why Vegas still has them as the favorites to win the East, AFC East, and also within, I think, the top six Super Bowl teams as far as odds are concerned.
Yeah. They're a great team. They have a superstar quarterback. We talked earlier, like, where are they in terms of total roster? If you take out, like, non-quarterback, outside of the quarterback position, like, where are they? Because 2 years ago, I think most thought, and I did, that they were the best. They were number one. They didn't have a single hole on the roster, and they had top players everywhere. I look at their roster right now, I do believe that their downfall or the losses column that you'll see whenever, if NFL Network's talking about the Bills offseason, there'll be additions and subtractions. And the list of subtractions, I think, has seen an overreaction because of the name power that you see there. But, because just to finish that point off, if you look at their roster, I don't really see a lot of holes. Like, there's not really a position other than receiver, which we've gone round and round about. I don't see a position where I think, okay, well, that could really sink them. Like, safety, I'm completely fine with what they've done this offseason. Cornerback, completely fine with where they are. Defensive line, sure, you might want one more accomplished edge rusher, but I'm okay. Like, defensive tackle, they have addressed thoroughly. And on the edge, they brought Epinesa back and drafted a guy in the middle rounds. Plus Vaughn, they didn't cut. So it's not like... Two Hills, the other one. That's the name I was looking for. So they've done some things. Where I am lacking with their roster right now, which is why I wouldn't put it right at the top, where are the star players? Where are the guys that are the elites? The guys that are the best at their position in the league? Because they used to have that. Diggs was in the conversation, one of the best receivers in football. Trey White, one of the best corners in football. Hyde and Poyer, two of the best safeties in football. Milano was one of the best linebackers in football. And even Morse, maybe for center. But not as much.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Okay. That's a great point. So
go ahead.
Let's frame it this way. After Josh Allen, who's most likely to be a first-team All-Pro?
It's Milano.
Probably. He's coming back from injury. It's a crowded linebacker group in the NFL to get there, right?
But he's next.
Last year, Taron Johnson was second team.
Taron Johnson was second team. So maybe it's Taron Johnson, right? Maybe Taron Johnson and nickel corner is number two for that. But you know what I mean? Like, they don't have the elite game-breaking difference makers that they once did. They're good, and they have a lot of good players, but I feel like they are lacking with elite players right now.
How far you have to go down on offense on the roster to find a guy you'd get to on that question?
I passed Allen. I might get to Dawkins second. It would be... Or maybe Kincaid. I mean...
I know. I'm thinking Kincaid maybe.
The
I don't
hope,
know.
The hope is Kincaid, right? Like, he's probably who their offense is going to run through. Like, I think he's going to lead them in targets. I think he's going to be a huge piece. And... Given his draft caliber and what he did in his rookie year, like, he better be, for their sake, he better be, like, doesn't have to be Kelsey, it doesn't have to be Gronkowski, like, one of the best of all time, but can he be Mark Andrews? Can he be that level of player? Can he be a guy that can be the leading target getter on his offense and is considered one of the best tight ends in football? I don't even be the best tight end, but... Yeah, can he get in that all-pro conversation? Like, I think Kincaid might be the next offensive player I'd get to.
One thing we know, the NFL believes, from a scheduling and showcase standpoint, the Bills are still the Bills, that we've known them. When Mike North, VP of Broadcasting, appeared on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me last week, I asked him specifically, are you guys in or out on the Bills? Like, a lot of people think, hey, not going to be a team, take a step. They're not going to be the same team, taking a step back. His answer, Joe, was, we are not taking our foot off the gas on the Bills. So that means, folks, expect a lot more showcase prime time just like usual. Not maybe more, but as many as they've had. That could be Thanksgiving. That could be Christmas. That could be Black Friday. That could be week one nighttime game again. A lot of possibilities. The schedule has a lot of opportunity with the teams they're playing, both home and away, if you take a look at it. Do you have a favorite week one idea for the Bills?
I have moved off my original favorite idea, which was New England. Right out of the gates, get a division rival that everybody's got feelings about and would love to see the Bills just hammer right out of the gates. And that's what I want is 1 o'clock Sunday at home. That's my number one preference for what you get. And if I can have it against an opponent where everyone can have a good time, everyone can party, we start off the season well, and you just, on a good weather day maybe, like that's the dream opening day. New England fits that, but because what Evan Lazar said earlier about maybe we don't see Drake May right away, how about the Cardinals? Because with the Cardinals, I feel like I'm getting a lot of the same things. I know they have Kyler Murray, but I'd expect the Bills to beat the Cardinals and be a heavy favorite against Arizona. But at the same time, I get to say I got to go to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s first ever NFL game. Assuming he doesn't hold out or something.
It's interesting. I don't think the league would put Arizona there, but I'm with you. I'd be fine with it. I don't think the league would do that. I kind of want a nondescript Sunday 1 o'clock game. In the last two years, you go Thursday nighttime, open the season in LA against the champs. Last year, open the season 9/11 in New York, Aaron Rodgers. And from a competitive standpoint, it's almost like the Dak stacked a little bit against the Bills, right? In those situations where, you know, they played horribly against the Jets. They should have won. They didn't. And they did beat the Rams, and they were able to handle it just fine. But how about giving me the Patriots at home, week one? I don't care if it's no Drake Bay. Just get the Bills off to a right good start, get their feet under them, 1 o'clock. People feel good about going back to the stadium. How about the Titans, Tennessee Titans? I'd be fine with that. Even the Jags, that's an interesting one, right? With Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis and Chad Hall and a little reunion. That's a good storyline for the league. If it's a road game, you got a favorite idea for that? Now they have, listen, they have opened up on the road 2 years in a row. People think, oh, they aren't going to make them 3 years in a row. Let me tell everybody something. The Cincinnati Bengals opened up on the road 7 straight years. The NFL, I asked Mike North about this. He goes, yeah, we would consider something like that, but 2 isn't too many. So you could get to 3.
Yeah. By the way, did you see Gabe Davis, what number he's wearing this year?
Yes, I did. 0.
0. Doesn't feel like a 0, but I guess, you know, if we're comparing Coleman to him, and Coleman's wearing it, but just weird, because 13-0 is a big difference. Jacksonville's not bad. Jacksonville's not bad.
Road game?
Yeah, if it's a road game, I think Houston is too much for me right out of the gates.
Yeah.
You know, like, Monday night Houston, like, I think that's a popular idea, but I need a break from the dig stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, beginning of the season is supposed to be about the beginning of the season. It's supposed to be about expectations and what happened in camp and what's happening in the preseason and what you need to do divisionally. Like, it's about everything, right? It's about the big scope. And I feel like if it's Houston week one, then you've got months of buildup knowing what the first game is, and it's just going to be too much about digs. And I could use a break from that. Like, put that game in a big primetime window somewhere middle of the season. So my favorite idea, I mean, I want to go to Seattle this year. Like, that's the trip I want to take. And okay. I'd like
Week
that.
Week one wouldn't be bad weather at all. That'd be nice.
Yeah, they already did the Rams, so I don't, 2 years ago, so I don't want to see that.
You don't want Miami in that hot weather.
Don't want Miami. They did the Jets last year.
How about the Colts?
Actually, you know what? I'll say this. I don't mind the idea of running it back against the Jets. Like, I don't think they do that.
Okay.
But if they want to say, hey, this game didn't even really happen the way we were planning it. We wanted Rodgers' debut against the Bills. Let's fire it back up. I would be okay with that. Yeah.
Okay. The Bills play the Chiefs at home this year in the regular season. It's been on the road in Kansas City over the last many years, and then obviously, last year in the playoffs, they did play at home. The rotation kind of changes now. People always wonder why the Bills play the Chiefs. Well, I wrote about this a couple years ago at the end of the season. You can just kind of search it. I wrote about why the Bills always play Kansas City and in Kansas City. It has to do with the normal schedule rotation, and then on top of that, where you finish. The thing about this year's game is it's in Buffalo. This does not feel like it's going to be a week one game. It does feel like it's going to be a primetime game. But, interesting. Primetime Monday night, primetime Sunday night, primetime Thursday night, primetime Thanksgiving, primetime Christmas, primetime Black Friday. There's so many different ways. When we come back, I'm going to play you a clip from the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Matt Bove, me, and Mike North to kind of give you some insight into the fascinating to me, like, way in which the NFL has to go about figuring out where to put a game like that. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, we got Bruins Leafs tonight and breaking news out of Toronto, Joe.
Austin Matthews will not play tonight, despite the fact he was on the ice this morning.
Wow.
Just weird.
He was? I didn't know that part of it.
He was on the ice. I saw pictures of him at practice. So this happened earlier in the series, too, though, where Willie Nylander was, like, at practice, and everyone's like, oh, okay, well, playoffs, he must be ready to go if he's practicing. Those guys play through anything, right? And then he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Matthews. Travis Yost just tweeted, this Austin Matthews stuff does not sound great. Like, I don't know if he's referring to illness or injury. whatever that part of this is, because that's what the Leafs are saying, of course. It's hard for me not to speculate, though, that there's more to it.
Right. So I want to say, I hope he's okay. Because
right.
Whatever's going on here, it seems fairly serious in some capacity. He's obviously missing playoff games after being on the ice. Like, I hope Austin Matthews is okay. He's a superstar. He's fantastic. I know we're in Buffalo. He's in Toronto, whatever. You love him being, you know, a part of the game. And for him to miss these games and this is going on, you have to wonder what's happening.
Yeah. So, again, it's weird timing, right? Like,
right.
The whole thing's weird. Like, he was cleared to play 2 games ago. He did. They were down 3-0. He got into it with teammates on the bench. They went back to the locker room for the second intermission. He doesn't come out for the third period.
Wow.
And since then, it's this. It's he doesn't play in game 5, and then he's on the ice for game 6 practice. I guess he wasn't out there for the formal. So I'm looking now. He was on the ice. He was testing things. And then when the rest of the team came out, he wasn't there. So, again, maybe there is something real going on there. But it's still weird. It's the timing of it all has to make you wonder if there's more to it.
I'm sure they'll be talking about that on Sabres Live coming up next. But real quickly here, before we head on out today, Mike North, VP of Broadcasting for the NFL, once again joined It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Great podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app, wherever you pod as well. Be sure you're subscribing. Also on the Sal Sports YouTube page. Got a lot of people re-watching who have watched it and have said, oh my God, this guy, he gives so much great insight. Here's one of the things he talked about. I asked him specifically, Joe, how do you determine where to put Chiefs-Bills? A game like that where it's been on Sunday at 4, it's been on Sunday night, it's been on Monday night. What do you do? This is what he said about all the things the league considers. It's pretty fascinating.
So you put a game like Buffalo-Kansas City on Sunday night, that probably gives people a reason to stay and tune in and watch. You put that game on Sunday afternoon, CBS, Fox, 425, you actually probably beat that number. You probably get closer to 30 million. So is that a better use of that asset? We're trying to grow the Amazon brand and shift consumer behavior and help people find Amazon Prime on a Thursday night. You want people to find Amazon Prime? You know, put Bills Chiefs there. People will find it, right? Look at what we did with Peacock last year. When you put a Chiefs playoff game on Peacock, our fans will find the games that they care about. So we need to know which games they care the most about. And they tell us every day. They tell us every time they interact with the league, every time they call into one of your shows, every time they post something on social media, every time they change their quarterback on their fantasy team, every time they buy a hat or a t-shirt or a ticket, every time they follow somebody on Instagram, every time they place a legal bet, every time they interact with the league, they're telling us what's important to them. And if we're not listening, then we're not doing our jobs. If we took that Buffalo Kansas City game and we put it on CBS at 1 o'clock Eastern in a window with 8 other NFL games, and that game might only be available then in 28, 29, 30% of the country, that's not the best use of that asset. That game belongs to our fans. We're not doing our jobs if we're putting it in a place where as many fans as possible can't see it.
Pretty fascinating stuff, Joe, about all the different things they have to consider with a game like Buffalo and Kansas City. I also asked him, by the way, about networks protecting games. And he said, no, you can't protect in May. Like, you can, that game can be put anywhere right now. CBS can't say, we're holding it. Once flex scheduling starts, they can protect a game, but they can't do it. So you have a thought on, after what he said, about where Buffalo, Kansas City might land?
Yeah. The streaming part of it makes a lot of sense. I heard him say too. And I'd forgotten he said that about the fans will find it. And
yeah,
last year, the playoff game against Miami, you saw that. So what are those guys going to want? They're paying big money for these games. They're paying big money for the streaming packages. So this might be a better year than ever, because I've seen there was a, it's just one writer, but there was just one top 10 list about, hey, the 10 games to look forward to this year and where they end up on the schedule. And none of them were Bills Chiefs. Just like, it's not as hyped up as it's been, because it doesn't really feel like it means a lot for either team this time.
Well, I disagree. I think it means a lot, but I mean, I would say,
if the Bills win, no one will care. It'll be the regular season again.
By the way, opening night for the Chiefs. I mean, how about the Chargers? Right, that would be great. Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's debut makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. We'll see what the Bills get as far as prime time, as far as Thanksgiving, Christmas. Mm-hmm. Are those on the table? Very well could be. It's interesting. People who listen to the pod tell me they think the Bills will get a Christmas game. I didn't get that necessarily listening to them, but I can definitely get there. I invite you to go listen to it, folks. Once again, Mike North, VP of Broadcasting. Fascinating discussion every year. That's at the Sal Sports YouTube page and also wherever you pod. It's always game day in Buffalo. All right, Joe, I'll be back on Tuesday with you. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.